Look at this. This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil. Chalhanoglu pull that one from. Oh, what a goal! 63 minutes dead, and I smell that one coming.
Rafinha over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Urgency up, James Rodriguez, has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant. Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him, Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, ravaging run from midfield, tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
As always, Joe, a lot going on in the world of soccer. Never ends.
Oh, absolutely, especially since the last time we did a show, and we can cover a lot of things, but it seems like daily, by the minute, something is happening.
Yeah, we have, even close here, close to home, we've had the disappointment of the MLS final like we discussed last show, and, you know, the beginning of the new season always brings optimism, and there's a couple of Canadian kids that are probably going to be making a big splash this year in the MLS as the MLS draft was concluded maybe, I don't know, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, about a couple of weeks ago. That's the thing with MLS. I mean, just like it is with any league now, we just had the MLS Cup final. It literally seemed like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now we are into, you know, preseason essentially for all MLS teams. No different for the Canadian squads. Obviously, with our focus a little bit more on TFC, but yeah, they're ready to go, and they have a lot of young players, right? That were either part of the draft or, as we know, part of you know, the signings. Whether they be, you know, a lot of you guys might have heard of what a Generation Adidas player or a homegrown player. Essentially, players that are signed by the league, and there's a lot of, you know, Canadian players that were part of that, which are now for the first time Canadian players being Generation Adidas players. So yeah, we're already back to looking forward to another season in MLS.
Well, it's probably good for the fans to get, you know, all the TFC fans anyway, to get the taste out of their mouth, get back into the season and see what this team can do, because the majority of the team came back anyway, so it should be similar to last season, but you could never say that. So we're also going to talk about EPL, Serie A. We're going to do, we're going to talk about the NCAA, actually. Joe's club, Vaughn Soccer Club, they're having a showcase in March, I believe, March 8th and 9th, March 9th and 10th, I believe.
9th and 10th.
Yeah, so we're going to get, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And for those of you that don't know what showcase is, we'll explain it to you. It's a way for kids to get exposure to the NCAA. Well, I'll have Joe explain everything when we get to that segment in our show. But as usual, you can reach us on our website, www.footballweekly.com, football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can reach us on Twitter at @football_weekly, football again, spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly. I'm only spelling it because we've been away for so long that, you know, people might have forgotten.
Yeah, I forgot.
So football_weekly. Our individual Twitter handles, Joe is JoeCola4, and mine is @Reginaldinho_5. You can subscribe to our website on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's a number of different ways you can get us through different podcatchers. You can subscribe via email. Easiest thing to do to subscribe to our podcast. How much does it cost, Joe?
It's the wonderful price of free.
$3.99, my favorite price.
Exactly.
So, guys, no need for you not to be listening. If we see you on the road and we ask you questions, you better have the answers about our show. So, most definitely. Joe, so, you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be, Reg.
All right. So, guys, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly podcast. We'll be back after this. So tonight we're not going to start with what we usually do. We usually talk about pro leagues and pro players, and or if we have an interview, we always leave it to the end. Tonight we're going to talk about grassroots.
And this is back to where it starts.
Exactly. And this is probably the thing that sets us apart from most of the shows out there, is that we're in touch with the coaches that are coaching the kids that are going to be Generation X players. The coaches, the clubs that are pumping these players out and getting them to the NCAA that you're hearing about now. Who knew Kyle Larin back in the day, right?
That's right.
Who knows what university Kyle Larin went to? Who did he play for?
That's right.
You know him now, but did you know him then? These are the guys that know them back then. These are the guys that are picking them when they're 8 years old and saying, "I see something in you." And look where he is now. Starting striker for the Canadian national team, one of the best players in the MLS, and probably pretty much a household name, yeah, right?
For sure. And Reg may be possibly being sold to Europe, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Been linked with Sporting, with Benfica, Lazio, other clubs, right? And it looks like it, and Stoke City is the latest, right? So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of things going on with that. So
how did we find these players? And this is how these players are found. Joe will explain exactly what we're talking about when we say showcase. And Joe, take it away.
Yeah, well, thanks, Rich. You know, we hear about showcases and what that means. Well, exactly that, showcasing young players and their talents. We've talked about on the Football Weekly podcast about, you know, a pathway that is very legitimate now for aspiring pros, let's say, is the NCAA, and specifically Division One, not always Division One, but, you know, specifically Division One soccer. And it's a pathway. You're seeing a lot of players. Reggie mentioned Kyle Larin. You know, a lot of players that are taking that pathway into MLS. We've talked about the ACC, for example, as being a really strong conference and so on. So a lot of people, like college coaches we talk to, say that that might be one of the strongest U23 leagues in the world. Imagine that, Reg. So the showcase allows young aspiring players that are, you know, just coming out of, let's say, if you're talking about North America, high school, and they're playing in games, competitive games, in front of college coaches, Canadian and American, and they are there scouting them, watching them play, and potentially, you know, finding their next best players to bring over for a scholarship, you know, to get an education and to play at the next level. For them would be college soccer. And then from there, of course, aspiring to go to the MLS or any pro league. So it's an event where players, you know, club teams play competitive, high-intensity games, not looking at winning a trophy, but looking to play competitive games to showcase your talents and in the hopes of, you know, college coaches, you know, liking what they see and contacting you for a scholarship or potential scholarship.
And to play, not to play devil's advocate, but to get this, if, for the people that out there that don't know what showcases are, how do you attract top-notch programs that come to your showcase?
That's a good question, Reg. You know, we're lucky. I mean, I think, like, for example, like the Sigma, and we've talked about them, Kyle Larin, a product of Sigma, so many players from them, and the club I'm associated with, Vaughn, let's say, Vaughn Soccer Club, you know, at our two events, our two groups, let's say, we've been very fortunate, traveled to the United States, you know, been very successful at other showcases. We've had good events, whether it be at the Sigma Showcase, the Vaughn Showcase. We've had, you know, top-notch level games where from these games, our players have gone on and played in the NCAA. We mentioned Kyle Larin. He went on to play at UConn, University of Connecticut, a very good program. And now we currently have a player there too, and possibly more. And Munir Saleh, who's there, who's, you know, going into his second year from Vaughn Soccer Club playing at UConn. So, you know, it's years of playing and going down to the States, playing high-quality games here. I know us at Vaughn, we play a group like Sigma, and we play TFC, the academy teams, a lot, and college coaches see that. And it takes, you know, a player like Kyle Larin to go down and do something, you know, fantastic. We've had guys like, for example, we mentioned them here, Kamal Miller at Syracuse, who is a, you know, Vaughn Soccer Club product. and Cabal's doing great things in the ACC there. You know, we mentioned Dane Sinclair, Bond Soccer Club product playing at Maryland, Deion Harris, Penn State, and other schools and so on. We have another, and I'm going to miss some of them, but these guys, they've gone out and played down south, Reg, and the college coaches, as you know, it becomes a small world. Everything becomes a small network, and they talk and they speak. And they know that good products are coming out of here at Sigma. They know that good products are coming out of here at Vaughn Soccer Club. So, you know, they don't want to lose out, Reg. If there's an untapped market or a market that is bringing players, the college coaches will come. And that's what we're looking at with, you know, I know Bobby can speak to that with the Sigma Showcase. We can speak to that at Vaughn, myself, and Patrice, and Geyser, you know, is that our players, our coaches that are coming down they're seeing the fruits of, you know, these coaches' labors and the players' labors. They've gone to, you know, our group was lucky enough, fortunate enough to win the Disney Showcase last year in the U19 group. This year they were third. So, you know, coaches see that and you get to know them and then they look at, you know, the group as being legitimate players that can play at the NCAA level Division I. So, you know, those are how the relationships get forged and we go from there, Reg.
So when you're building your squad to show in a showcase, is it an all-star team that you're building or is it actually just players that are in your club that you just put together and play the likes of TFC and teams like that?
It's a good question. I mean, I know for our group, I can speak for the Vaughn Soccer Club. We have a high-performance program, we call it, and we generally have anywhere sometimes from 20 and 30 players in a couple of ages, and they're training, Reg, five times a week, sometimes six.
Right. You know, which mimics what they'll be doing later on in life, right?
Yeah, for sure, and especially in college soccer. People don't give enough credit. The college soccer season is a tough one, and they're looking to revamp it because of, you know, playing so many games in a small period. Reg, you're a product of that.
Yeah.
You know, playing at a UMBC, which is great, you know, a perennial powerhouse in the last 10 years, in college soccer too. So, you know, it does prepare them. So, you know, us and these other groups that are doing this, you know, that's part of the plan, right? And so how do we pick them? I mean, they're playing with us, they're training with us. These young players are preparing. I mean, usually here in Ontario, we usually look at the season being done right in October. Not true for us and for these, you know, groups that are involved in showcasing. We start in October. I mean, we never stop. And we go straight until January, especially, you know, with the Disney Showcase being in, you know, just after Christmas, right?
Right.
So, you know, especially, you know, if you're looking at this circuit, you know, we look at Sigma Showcase in December, a Disney Showcase, and then, of course, the Vaughn Soccer Showcase, the Vaughn High Performance in March. And, you know, so it's a steady path to all of these events and picking the players, Reg. I mean, if we can find a home for all of them, it'd be great. You know, every player wants to go to the biggest school, right, Reg?
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes it's not always the case. And we look at, I mean, with all due respect to some of these schools, I mean, a lot of these, what you would call, you know, smaller schools, they're turning out great players. Let's use the example of, you know, a good friend of ours at FC Durham, and he was with him at Ajax originally, Tom Croft, and let's say Brian Wright, who's just got drafted as a Generation Adidas player from the University of Vermont, Canadian kid from Ajax, and with DC United. Here he is, and he was at a quote-unquote smaller school, but a great conference, I believe, in UMBC's conference in America East.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was fantastic. So,
well, I liked how you said that the coaches are looking for the untapped market, and there's good players at every program. There has to be at least 2 to 3 good players at every program. If you're a team like, we're always using your UConn or Syracuse, but you go to those bigger type schools and you're going to see maybe 8 or 9 really, really good players.
Absolutely.
But even if you're going to the JUCO or junior college, as it was said, but even if you're going to junior college or one of the quote-unquote smaller schools, there's still going to be talent there. And it's whether it's who's going to go out there to Asheville, North Carolina to watch a game, right?
So absolutely.
Those are the coaches that are going to tap the market, right?
Absolutely. Reg, I messed up. He's actually Brian Wright, New England Revolution. I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in New England. I apologize. So, yeah, he's actually at New England. And yeah, so exactly, Reg. That's they don't want to lose out, and they want to see. They don't want to. They know that, you know. So now a Brian Wright, for example, comes out of a quote unquote smaller school, great program there, and he was, you know, took him in the NCAA tournament, and for all accounts, you know, speaking to players or coaches, you know, from that conference, they said, hey, he was by far the best player in the conference. So I mean, that's high praise, right?
Okay, so. Again, let them know the dates of the showcase, what schools will be attending, right. What coaches are going to be around, like from Vaughan and in this area, what coaches are going to be around.
So for sure. So our event's going to be March 9th and 10th. The games are going to be between 8 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's going to be at Downsview Park, 11v11 Dome there, and obviously in Toronto. It's just adjacent to the Kia training ground where TFC trains.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indoor bubble. It's 11v11, like I said. And, you know, I'm going to update more of the more coaches that are coming. But, you know, as of now, for example, we have Syracuse, UConn, Michigan State, Michigan, you know, Oakland University. Duke is coming this year.
Wow.
A lot of big schools, a lot of good schools. You know, Saginaw Valley State, a lot of schools are coming. Albany.
Is UMBC showing up?
Sorry?
Is UMBC showing up?
They usually do. They did last year. You know, Reggie's alma mater, UMBC. Last year, Pete Kerenji III came. Was also an MLS draftee a couple of years ago with Montreal Impact. So there's a lot of schools, and I'm missing a lot of them. The Canadian schools will be there, of course. York, U of T, Ryerson, Mac, Guelph. You know, a lot of schools that are coming as well. Like I said, and I'm missing more. You know, full list will be up as well. So these schools are coming down, and they're looking for talent and looking for a player that will help them. You know, so again, the teams that are participating from our area, we have usually, again, the club teams, like, you know, that are with us, our academies, Sigma, FC Durham, you know, Toronto Lynx and so on, Markham Soccer Club. So these, you know, obviously Vaughan, they're all looking to show their stuff, and it's a great event. And, you know, I think when you have these events, of course, people, you always want to help, quote-unquote, your own player. But it's fantastic to see players from all clubs, academies, if they're participating in, quote-unquote, your own event, that they get looked at. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's what we're looking for. You know, we want we always talk about our game, our players, our Canadian players to get better and be on that path. And I think we've said this a lot. The pathway to becoming a pro is a legitimate one with the NCAA. I mean, we just had National Letter of Intent Day, right? Signing day.
Mm-hmm.
And Reggie, I mean, I remember, you know, you were part of a special group with your club team way back in the day, you know, almost 20 years ago, that, you know, it wasn't such a quote-unquote big deal. But if it was today, it'd be a very big deal.
Yeah.
Right? Because you guys went to some very big schools and big, you know, programs, and so now you're seeing this with all over the last couple of days or last 2 weeks. We've had players, you know, female and male sign, you know, with their national letters of intent, and it's a great thing that we're promoting. You know, I will say this, that, you know, this year's event is once again one of the select showcases from the Ontario Soccer Association, so that was very good too. We have their full support, you know, and the support of not only the Ontario Soccer Association, but obviously the Vaughan Soccer Club, and as well as our district in York Region, or your YRSA. So a lot of hands go into this, but at the end of the day, Reggie, the benefit really is on the player. It really is on the young player. It's giving them an opportunity to be looked at and to show and showcase their talents.
Okay, well, as it gets closer to the date of the start of the showcase, we'll be mentioning it pretty much every show as well. I have a couple of other questions, but I'll save them for the next show, because it's always interesting, being a former player, to see how people prepare for things. I know it's hard work for the coaches to get this thing all set up, but at the same time, the players need to prepare too. It's not just go out and play, and, you know, you have to be mentally ready and prepared. So I wanted to ask a couple of questions, but I'll save those for maybe next week's show.
Sure.
And we'll talk about the showcase, your showcase, Vaughan Soccer Club showcase, up until the day it starts, right? So we'll be, we'll be doing something with them about it every week up until it starts. So
it's good to
get this out there to let people know that it's not just about going to the States to do a soccer tournament there and things like that. It's that coaches and schools are actually coming here to look at players as well. So Get your club teams ready. So keeping with Canadian aspect of football, of the grassroots, the MLS draft took place a couple of weeks ago, and we had some significant Canadians go in the draft too.
Once again, these Canadian players are doing big things, and it's so good to see them getting a look and getting drafted.
Right.
You know, we had a couple of, you know, we mentioned that they might, and they did.
Exactly.
You know, Adonna J. Reed out of A&B.
Told you.
Academy.
Told you.
That's right. He gets a Generation Adidas contract. He gets drafted by, I believe, FC Dallas. Okay. Kwame Reggie Awa. Did I make some?
Awa,
yeah. He got drafted with, imagine this, New York City FC.
Nice.
You know, great kid, Kwame. I've known him for a bit. Sigma product, so good on Sigma again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And getting drafted in the first round. Here you are looking at a player that we've seen growing up, and here he is training with David Villa and Pirlo and all those stars at NYSC with mm-hmm. Patrick Vieira. For you, Reg, a Gunners legend, and you know, here's this kid, you know, living out his dream. So we had other players as well that got a look. Obviously, with Adonijay Reed was a Generation Adidas player. So that's fantastic for him. That means I got a guaranteed 2-year contract with the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
At least 2 years, I believe. And then, of course, you know, then we have homegrown deals. He wasn't drafted, but just as good as that, if not better, with Toronto FC, a player we mentioned for a long time here.
Mm-hmm.
Played at Coastal Carolina and played at Syracuse.
Yeah, we used to be in that conference, actually, when I went to UNBC.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah, we were. It's the Big South. We were in that conference.
Oh, that's right. You guys were in Big South, and then now they're in America East.
Yeah, every away game was 8 hours away.
It wasn't actually a bad thing. Well, I guess you weren't flying, right?
So no, we weren't flying back then.
Yeah, so this player, Sergio Camargo,
mm-hmm.
and this kid, you know, I've been watching him since he was 14 years old.
Right.
And he's, you know, when he's playing with Unionville, then he became with the Toronto FC Academy. And I remember Sergio made an appearance at the Rogers Centre, I believe, as a youth or academy player when they played Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Sergio went on to do some great things, represented Canada youth level, dynamic player, Reg, really sharp player, like him a lot.
Right.
Good decision-making, crafty, you know, likes to make things happen, number 10 type, and so on. So Toronto FC signed him to a homegrown deal, which is fantastic.
And explain what a homegrown deal is.
So Sergio signed the homegrown deal. It's essentially like a Generation Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Chapman of TFC, with a Michigan State product, signed the same type of deal. So homegrown is, again, you are not drafted, but it's like you're drafted, and you're signed by the league as well to the club. And you have, like, again, it's a guarantee of 2 years. It's almost to protect young players, give them a chance to prove their worth, so they're not going to be cut or let go. And
it's like for the club, it's for the club that picks them. It's kind of like, I don't know how to word this, but not waste your draft pick, but you can always sign someone as a homegrown player, not drafted, not using your pick, and then pick someone else with your actual pick and still get your young guy as a homegrown, right?
Absolutely. And it's great to see these guys that did come out of the Toronto FC Academy and play and do that. And Jay Chapman and Sergio Camargo were both examples of that.
Right.
So, and again, Sergio had a fantastic year again at one of the, you know, nations, the United States premier programs led by Ian McIntyre at Syracuse. So, you know, again, doing a great job. They had the number 2 pick in the draft in Miles Robinson, who's a U-20 U.S. men's national team player. And, of course, his partner is a guy we've talked about, or is one of his defensive partners, we keep talking about here, we just mentioned him as well, is Kamal Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Kamal, you know, listen, we don't want to jinx the young man, but, you know, I think big things are coming for Kamal Miller.
Definitely.
A lot of people, a lot of coaches that I speak to say that he quite possibly is one of the best, if not the best, Canadian in the NCAA. So I always got time for Kamal Miller, so we're hoping good things for him. So, yeah, these guys, again, leading the way for a generations and players to come after, you know, so they're doing that. Another Sigma product, you know, got drafted as well, I believe in the third round or so, Chris Nankel, again from Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris, I believe, is with Philadelphia Union.
No, we can always check that. I think that's right, I
believe it's with Philadelphia. Yep. So, you know, these Canadian boys are getting a chance, and I think that's all we really wanted is for them to get a chance.
And where does it start, Joe? Where does it start? It starts at the showcase, no?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of it. Yeah, you know, like that's part of it as well. And with some good coaches that
part of the journey.
Yeah, you know, and I, like I said, I think that's where we want our guys to be looked at. And I think with all these events that we go to, whether it be whoever's putting on the showcase, and we have a lot of people putting on good ones, the coaches are coming and they're looking at who the next guy might be and so on. You know, and we talked about mid-major guys and guys that not always like Brian Wright, out of mid-major. You know, we even look at a guy like Austin Ricci out of Oakland, who we've interviewed, you know, and look for him to maybe do something too. I think along those lines with Brian Wright. So, you know, the future is bright. And I know we keep saying this and people want things yesterday. I always talk to you about this, Reg. I think the more this happens, I should say, then our Canadian boys won't be, if they're playing in these important games in the NCAA and getting looks, by the time they get to MLS, they're going to be a little bit more seasoned.
Exactly.
And they're going to be playing important games. And that's where I think needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, one of the major differences, one of many, I should say, differences that you got from kids coming in other parts of the world, is that they're playing important games early.
Right.
And I think that's what we can't lose sight of. We need our boys to play in these important games. And we mentioned the ACC again, top level programs there. And again, a lot of coaches will call that, you know, one of the best under 23 leagues in the world, Reg. Imagine.
And yeah, really. Here,
you know, because of, look at these players. Here's something worth noting. You know, a lot of the players now that are choosing college soccer are not just Canadian or American.
Oh, right? Yeah,
they're coming
definitely.
From all over the world.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Definitely. Even if it's just to get the education and they don't even want to be part of any professional, you know, aspirations after school, just you see, like, beyond the sports, the people want to come here, the United States. When I say here, I mean North America,
right. Yeah.
For the education. If the soccer can help them get that, then more power to you. But at the same time, the lure of the MLS, you know, and that being a stepping stone to other things, a la Kyle Larin, who used the MLS to show his wares. And like you said earlier in the program, that now Benfica's looking at him, now Sporting, now Stoke.
You
use that as a stepping stone to go. So it's getting much better. It's not like it is in South America, obviously, but it's getting much better that the stepping stones are in place to get you where you want to go. It's just how hard do you want to work to get there, right?
Absolutely, and there are more eyes on college soccer too.
Exactly,
that are looking at it too. So,
exactly.
You know, this is all, you know, all win-win stuff. So,
yeah,
well, exactly. Again, and good luck to all all these guys. Again, a congratulations, I'd say to them. Good luck to them starting their camps, and they're already in there doing their camps, and they're doing big things. And we do wish them well for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Football Weekly wishes all the Canadians, all the kids that go the NCAA route. We wish you well. Good luck in your upcoming season. Hope you make the team. Some of them won't, but don't be discouraged at that either, because there's other places to play to where you can make your mark as well. So
absolutely,
I love talking grassroots, Joe.
They got to start somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
The pros that we'd like to talk about, they did start somewhere. So
exactly,
we're gonna try to keep bringing that update to you guys, and hopefully shed some light on these guys doing their thing.
For sure. So in the second half of the show, we're going to get back into the regular format. We're going to talk about Syria.
Mm-hmm. I got something to say about that today, Reg.
Syria?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. So we're going to talk about Syria. We might dip into the EPL. I have nothing to say about the EPL. If Joel wants to talk about it, we can
do it.
I'll talk about it, Reg. It's February. It's middle of February. The season's over. And we'll dip into a little bit of a preview of Champions League, since I believe it starts again back up next week or the week after.
Sure.
Oh, is it next week? Yeah, it's next week.
Yeah, it's next week, Reg.
So,
this is the busy time in Champions.
Yeah. This is where you get busy right. Winning or get busy going home, right?
That's right.
So we'll talk about this after this. So this week, in the second half of the show, we're going to start off talking Serie A.
Yeah, and Reg, I'm not necessarily going to get into where the standings are this week. I mean, no surprise, Juventus is up front.
No way.
But, yeah. Okay, like Napoli and Roma are playing some really attractive football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Napoli just had, I don't know if you guys have a chance to watch Dries Mertens, but he is one special player.
He sure is.
He is fantastic, the Belgian international, as well as this guy, Marek Hamšík. Like, Hamšík does not get enough credit as a footballer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great little footballer. Red, you know what caught my eye? I was watching the games this week.
What's that?
And so on, is the level of play in the Serie A. I think, you know, you'd be a real stubborn person to say that, you know, well, they have just as many stars. They don't. They don't. The EPL is where they have most of them. We know that. Okay? But the players that are there, there's some quality players, and the speed at which the game in Serie A has been played isn't what you used to see. It's actually it's really speedy, good combinations and playing, good attacking football. Like, Roma and Napoli are just really, like, real models of it. I mean, Fiorentina still plays a good brand, you know. I mean, so that was just my little two cents. You know, if you guys haven't checked it out, it's actually a lot better than, you know, we always make the jokes about. It's really good football lately. I mean, I really enjoyed watching the games. Hey, you guys know me. Yes, I'm a fan of it, but I've been the first guy to hammer it.
Right.
It's been pretty good. Pretty good.
I was just flicking the channels this weekend, and I saw Inter Juve.
Great game.
Was that a good game?
It's a good game. Good pace again.
Yeah.
Marred by controversy at the end in terms of, you know, Perisic and Icardi going nuts about decisions and so on. I'm going to focus on the positive. Good flowing game. Excitement should be with two biggest clubs there. And, of course, Cuadrado settled it with a banger of a goal.
It was a 1-0 final?
Yeah, outside the box, banger, but really good pace. And, you know, what struck me is, I don't know if you guys have watched Juve lately and so on, but, you know, there was this thing where, you know, Higuain couldn't play with Mandzukic. They're both number 9 kind of types. Well, Allegri has put Mandzukic. Just, like, talk about the modern game. He's playing, like, left side. Not like a winger, but still, you know.
Left center, like a left center forward or something like that.
And, yeah, exactly. And working his butt off, like just tracking, working hard, and it's the guy's reinvented himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just talk about the modern game and so on. So, yeah, Juventus is still ahead of it. Roma is close. Napoli's played some good football. Of course, Napoli looking forward to their Champions League tie against Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So, yeah, I mean, leading goal scorer in Serie A, Edin Džeko.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And he reinvented himself too, it seems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, an Arsenal target. Now they're saying maybe a Chelsea target, which we called. I told you, Reg. Mm-hmm. I think this guy's going to go to Chelsea.
Okay.
Just saying it. Belotti from Torino.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But apparently Chelsea, Arsenal, interested in this guy. I've even heard Real Madrid. We'll see.
Chelsea doesn't need it anymore. They don't need any
more. You could see the angle, though, Reg. You could see probably Costa might leave, you know, help us win this championship. See you later. You know, go off to China, make your millions. And then, you know, Conte bring in another Serie A guy that he knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to have worked out well with him with Marcos Alonso.
Yeah.
You know, so we shall see, Reg.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to. I should have stopped and watched that game. I saw it's a big. I always say I'm going to watch the big games in Serie A.
Yeah,
it's
a pretty good one.
I flicked to it, and I got caught doing something else. So it was,
Reggie, I'll leave the note of this. I think if you guys haven't watched Joao Mario play,
yeah,
he might be one of my best favorite guys to watch in world football right
really?
Now. Pretty complete midfielder.
Yeah.
We said this before. He had a fantastic Euro with Portugal.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Reg, every time I watch the guy, I'm impressed with him. So,
yeah. More teams. I think more teams should have been after him. But
I totally agree with you. Yeah. And you know what? We always use the angle here. That guy would have been a fantastic fit for Arsenal.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to talk about those guys.
Hard, box to box. I just love the guy.
But anyway. Yeah, Wilshire box to box. Ramsey box to box. You don't need anybody else. Come on.
These are the days of our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say at Highbury. You know, but I guess we have to say the Emirates.
I wish it was still Highbury.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem in the Emirates. You know, it's so glossy and glamorous.
Yeah.
You get it back to the little box that was Highbury, right?
Yeah. I wish we could bring some of the players that played at Highbury back, too, but we can't do that, right? But,
You have the same manager. Oh,
yeah.
Can we leave it at that?
Well, you know, they're people, fans, former players calling for his head now. Now it's getting serious. Before, you could ignore it. If you're Arsene Wenger or the board, you can ignore it. But now it's getting louder and louder and louder. When William Gallas comes out and Thierry Henry come out and say, hey, it might be time for a change. You might want to sit up and take note. But we'll see what happens.
So this means we're going right to EPL now, Reg?
Oh, I don't want to talk about EPL. The season's over.
No. We're done. Okay.
It's over. Chelsea's what? How many points ahead of, well, of Arsenal? They're like 12, so that's done there. Arsenal just lost to Chelsea on the weekend in a horrendously played game by Arsenal. It was disgusting to watch, and they deserve everything they got out of that game, Arsenal, the way they played.
Yeah, that was not pretty.
It was not pretty in the least. So, you know, if you have a game before, you have the game before that game where they played Watford and lost 2-1 at home. So the week didn't start off well. We're going to Hull City on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. And then we play Bayern Munich on Wednesday, I believe.
You already know my prediction there, Reg.
Which one?
I've called that they're going to beat Bayern Munich. So.
Okay, what is it? Doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter now. We're not going to win Champions League. Nobody cares about FA Cup, and we're not winning the league. So I don't know what to say, man.
Well, Reg, I mean, who's more upset? Me saying, oh, Liverpool. Well, what the hell is going on with Liverpool?
To be fair, Joe, Liverpool never... I always knew, but... You know, you look at things.
You expected this.
Yeah,
and
I expect.
What they had and said they,
I think they were. Well, they overachieved in the beginning of the season. Yeah. In the beginning of the season, we gotta wait till February, March, and see where it all shakes out. And
we've always said that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that they're gonna turn around the results a little bit. But Reggie, what about the team that? Telling you, how many points away are they from the top four now?
What are we talking about? United?
Manchester United.
They're playing. They're playing well as well. Mourinho's got them a little bit back on track, maybe back to where they should be.
Is it a coincidence that their turnaround is somewhat tied to even the, you know, turning around of a season of a guy like Mkhitaryan? I mean, he's been pretty good with them, I think.
Oh well, yeah.
You know, he's been very good with them, I think. You know,
benched early. You know, comes in and plays. Now he's second name on the list, right?
But once again, should be challenging for that. I mean, this is still Manchester United with spending all this money. They should be.
Right.
You know? So, but again, we said it last show, Chelsea's leading the way.
Yeah.
But again, without the rigors and the burden, mm-hmm. I should say, mm-hmm. of Champions League football.
Champions League, that's it.
You know, it's the hardest league in terms of, you know, fixture schedule and so on. And we've seen that and trying to maintain quality and maintain, you know, health. So
let me ask you a question though: is not having Champions League worth 12 points? Eight points.
That's a very good point, Reggie. You know, Reg.
Like it's ridiculous. They're up on second place by what? 7 or 8?
Yeah, is it 9 or something like that? Yeah,
is,
no, you're right.
Is not having Champions League actually worth that?
You know. I think, Reggie, it doesn't hurt. You know, I've said that 1 million times, but...
Again, not having to travel and all that stuff, but you see what Leicester's doing in the league now. You see what City's doing. You see what Arsenal's doing. And you have to say that based on the results and based on how it's actually shaking out, that, yeah, it's probably worth 10 to 11 points.
You know, and...
Unless you have a squad that's as deep as...
And
you know?
I think the what it is like the no days off thing comes in here. Like, you know, games are like you're getting everybody's best all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just really think that, you know, the advantage of having a big name person in their first year, when players are really coming and motivated, like who's not motivated to play for Conte?
Right.
You know, and then you bring in the best engine maybe in the world right now.
Kante.
You know, N'Golo Kante, right?
Yeah.
And then you have, like, Matic, who's playing out of this world.
And Fabregas.
You know, like, you know, there he is. Mm. He held on to Fabregas, right, Reg?
Yeah, yep.
You know, and you have Pedro being reborn, Diego Costa. So
Hazard, Willian like, coming off the bench. It's like,
Right? So, I mean, Hazard, we knew that that was a glitch last year, a blip on the radar. You know, so let's look at it, too. Like, you're right. Is it worth all that? These guys are just showing their worth. And last year, it looks like they quit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's again, fix your schedule. It's February. We always say this. We said it last show. Talk to us after the February Champions League fixtures, you know, and that tells us a lot. You know, I mean, music to your ears. I think Tottenham's coming in on earth, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, that's what I was trying to get to that next. Like,
you know, they're going to come down to earth. And as I said, the team that I think will come past that is Man City and Manchester United. I think the Manchester teams will have something to say. I really believe it.
So the only way to win the league is not to be in Champions League.
That's the formula.
If that's the
formula.
And again,
that's not fair. No, and again, I think that's a cop-out.
Yeah.
Right? It's just because you look at, you know, what was done in the past, and these teams, with all kidding aside, they have enough resources, whether they be monetary or what have you, that leads into players, because, you know, obviously the money will buy the players, that they should be competing and be able to compete on all fronts.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you know, a mid-range teams we're talking about. We're talking about the elite five or six that with their funds and their squad, roster size, whatever it might be, they should be able to challenge on all three, all four, whatever fronts they are.
Should be and are two different things. But, you know. Adam, I think Chelsea runs away with the EPL. And now we're just fighting for second, third, and fourth, right? So we'll see how that shakes out. So, Joe.
Yep.
Pretty good show, I think.
I think we got to make one mention of one more thing in the last thing.
Okay.
Maybe for Reggie to soft spot, but still a good run.
Okay.
The African Cup of Nations.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, we got to do justice to the African Cup of Nations.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Reggie.
I know.
As a fan of the Black Stars.
I know.
And
Avram Grant resigned, the coach.
Wow, did he?
Yeah, he resigned. He only had month. I think he had a couple of months left on his contract, but
the way that they played. I think for them, not getting to the final was a big disappointment.
Losing then they lost a third-place game, too, right?
You know, so, Reg, I think I was going to say that. So, we'll recap it. Cameroon wins the African Cup of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Egypt in the final.
Mm-hmm. Great game, actually, if you know anything.
It actually was. I watched the second half of that game. Great game. In the semifinal, though, Ghana loses to Cameroon. Was it 2-1, Reg, or 2-0?
2-0.
2-0, right? So there you have, I guess, African royalty in soccer, right? Cameroon and Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Egypt, great squad, and I think most people thought they were going to win, right?
Yeah, they're going to walk all over everybody and take it, right?
You know, they
almost
were the
did,
Belgian pick, right? Yeah, they were the Belgian pick.
Right.
But to their credit, they got to the final. Yep. There's Cooper losing again. But, you know, Burkina Faso, Reg.
Yep.
That's fantastic, right? Third-place finishers?
I guess.
You know, so, I mean, for this tournament, Reggie is, you know, Reggie obviously knows this tournament more than myself. But, Reg, the quality of it and has been, over the years, gotten a lot better, hasn't it?
Well, the quality of play, for sure, because you're seeing, like the growth in the
playing
game.
In Europe,
the growth that we're seeing in the game in Canada now, where Canadian players are actually going and playing in the important games like we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
The same thing's happening with the African players. It's an untapped market, and people are going there and picking them up and taking them to Ligue 1 in France and taking them to Serie B in Italy. And now they're getting a look at Udinese, and Juventus is looking at them, and now they're playing in big games in Serie A. And then you go back to your club team, and it's, hey, where are you coming from? Arsenal just picked me. Chelsea just picked
me.
You know, Borussia Dortmund just picked me. And now you have a whole bunch of players coming together that are playing at high levels in Europe. And now the soccer has to get better, right?
That's right.
So the soccer gets better that way. But a main complaint I have about this tournament is the conditions of the facilities. And I was watching Ghana versus, I forget who they were playing. But that field, you couldn't make a 10-yard pass in that field. Impossible.
That was my next point to you. The facilities, the timing of the event. I mean, it's unfortunate. This should be a highlight event too, right? I mean, I agree.
Yeah,
that's where,
everyone should that's be able to watch
and,
it, you know?
And, yeah, like, you had to, like, get special screen. I mean, I did anyway. I had to get a special screen to watch
it.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, and this was the African Cup of Nations. This is, like, I would have loved to have seen more of the games, right? So, absolutely. And you talk about what this continent has brought to the global game.
Right.
It's unheard of. I mean, we talk about this all the time. I remember, I'm an AC Milan fan. The guy for me that was George Weah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, World Player of the Year. People forget.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, it's old hack. There's African players all over on big clubs, small clubs, whatever. So, you know, I think for where the game is going, this needs to be sorted. The African Cup of Nations needs to be more celebrated. You're right, Reggie. Got to be in better facilities. You know, we got to make this.
But it's got to be yeah. an off-season tournament. You can't play this in January, in the heart of league seasons.
All leagues, absolutely, right?
Yeah, so it has to be a summer tournament. It's got to be.
It really has to be. I mean, it's a little disappointing, right? But, you know, because, again, these are some great squads, good quality players and so on, you know.
You guys would be shocked to see teams like Mali, like, and what they're doing. Like, you think about Mali, you don't think about powerhouse in soccer. But
absolutely.
To watch them play, it's just like, whoa.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, look at who's one of the most exciting players in world football now? Aubameyang?
Yeah, yeah.
He plays for, I think, Gabon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, this is like not a, you know, and this, they're turning out players. The African continent is turning out players. You know, and like Reggie said, they're not, you know, young teenagers are going over to big clubs early.
Right.
You know, Aubameyang is a great example. Mm-hmm. I'm still kicking myself because he was an AC Milan player.
You see
as
that?
A youth kid.
See
you know,
that?
So, you know, so, I mean, just as, I mean, I almost kick myself more. Would I get that one or Patrick Vieira? Who was an AC Milan product. People forget.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
he was,
true.
He was the vice Desailly, right? So
He was there. That's definitely
you know?
True.
Yeah, so... You know, I think, like I said, I'm glad that I'm, you know, I'll tout it for you as well. You know, for those of you guys who haven't, check it out. Like, you know, support these games as well because it's great soccer. And like I said, it's only a matter of time. We looked at what African nations are doing in the World Cup, you know, and they're legitimate now. These aren't like, oh, what might they do?
Right.
They're legitimate. And, you know, for me, I saw the parts of, you know, the semis and the final.
Mm-hmm.
As always, for me, the African Cup of Nations delivers.
Yeah.
But you're right. You got to play on good pitches.
Yeah, it was so bad. And if it was raining, it would be unwatchable. But anyways, even the streams weren't the greatest either. But
no, right? Yeah.
Hopefully they can get that that fixed for the next one. And
that's right.
You know,
Reg.
Yeah.
Sorry, one last thing. We talked about grassroots young players. The Canadian U-20 group. Once again, a couple of players close, near and dear to us. Kamal Miller, we said him again, Syracuse product. You know, good luck to him.
Mm-hmm.
As he will be part of the U-20 CONCACAF team, hopefully qualifying in Costa Rica for the U-20 World Cup, as well as a kid we mentioned here a lot as well, Emmanuel Zambasis.
Mm-hmm.
He will be part of that group as well. Right, he will be traveling to Costa Rica with the U-20s as well.
Is Dane St. Clair on that as well? Is he the goalie?
We're waiting to see if Dane and Dayon are included in that group.
All right.
As of now, you know, I know they've been training with the group, but for sure, Kamal and Emmanuel will be going. And we wish all four of those guys luck and everybody luck. And, of course, the Canadian U-20 group, led by Rob Gale, wish them luck as well.
Definitely.
As they look to qualify for U-20 World Cup, and I believe they're going to Costa Rica. So good luck to those guys. And
great show, Joe.
We try, Reg. We try.
Lots of information today. Lots of information today, and we're gonna, like I said earlier, we're gonna keep on talking about your showcase, the Vaughan Soccer Club showcase, which takes place March 9th and 10th here at at Downsview
That's
Park,
right.
For those of you that don't know. Right beside the Kia Center where TFC 2, I believe, trains, or TFC trains there as well?
They both do, yeah.
They both train there, both, yeah. Right
TFC
beside
Academy,
there. So if you're a GTA-er, if you're a, you know, 905-er, 416-er, you know where all these places are, especially if you're into football. You know exactly what we're talking about, the hangar, right?
That's right.
So, guys, thanks for listening. You can reach us at our website, footballweekly.com. Talk to us on Twitter, @football_weekly. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. many different ways you can get our podcast. I mean, we're gonna try and do it every week, right, Joel? That was the New Year's resolution, right?
So we're gonna try.
We're definitely gonna try to do it every week. So, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.